Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. All the names and games.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, we're gonna take our team to the Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
We're gonna win till we can't no
get
more.
Them all.
We're gonna take our team to the Cotton
okay,
Bowl.
Okay, John.
We're gonna win till
every
we
last
can't
one.
No more. We got Big Pat up in the
okay.
back. Brady is attached.
Throw it.
Khakis on my ass with a sweater vest to match.
Looking good, Mike.
Putting up the points.
Yeah.
We gon' warm your loins.
Get some stops, too.
We been in that bowl. You ain't been up off that porch.
Ooh,
now
John.
Can't nobody tell us nothing. They can't tell us nothing. Can't nobody tell us nothing. They can't tell us nothing.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome to your Monday. You're rolling with Jason
Cotton
and John.
Ball?
92.9 FM ESPN. We appreciate you being here. It ain't Monday, John. It's Tuesday. I skipped a day there. It's because I'm still reveling.
Yes, you are.
Still reveling. Still in a state of euphoria over the University of Memphis football team's win over Ole Miss. How about it this weekend?
Oh, man.
A fantastic performance by those Tigers in front of, John, a pretty nice crowd.
A robust crowd.
Yes.
That was there to watch the journey to the Cotton Bowl. It starts with one step. It starts with a win. A win that happened in such a way that I don't think anybody would have ever predicted.
Mm-hmm.
15-10, decided basically on a safety by the Memphis defense after a great punt by Adam Williams, I believe is his name. It was a defensive shutdown.
It was.
By the University of Memphis. That, I mean, you just saw it. It felt like Ole Miss did not gain a yard of offense in the first half.
Oh, well, on rushing, they didn't.
They did not.
I think they were negative one in rushing and first yard. We talked about it. What would that defense look like under new defense coordinator Adam Fuller? My gosh, John, did they not come out and press a button? Look,
yeah.
Guys that were great individual talents last year, we talked about it. Can Fuller sort of pull it together? You saw a team with a great game plan, a team that was attacking.
Yep.
Bryce Huff obviously gets the big safety, huge play there. And, yeah, man, that you win it in a different way, whereas you've usually had to rely on your offense to kind of pull you through. Stops coming at a premium. They got all the stops in the world yesterday on Saturday, to the point that you almost felt like, man, in the first half, this should be 27-28 nothing. Where you at offense?
No doubt.
To that kind of point. So to John's point, you saw Memphis win in a different kind of way than they have in the past.
Yeah, so Memphis, it was a great weekend for Memphis football, no question about it, because they once again cemented their status as the best football team in the state. MTSU got rolled by Michigan. Tennessee.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Tennessee lost to Georgia State by, like, double digits, folks, like that. This is not a drill. This is not a drill. Tennessee football before the game, a ship caught fire.
Yeah, 38-30.
And not double. Okay, yeah. So they ended up not being double digits. But it doesn't matter.
It's just as embarrassing.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
It's been 10, 11, or 30. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's Georgia State.
It's all the same.
A Georgia State team that Memphis rolled last year, Vols fans. Not sure if you're paying attention.
Yeah. So, anyways, before the game, a ship sank to the bottom of.
I saw that.
Yeah, of the river, and you learned quickly that was not the worst of it for the Volunteers.
What a day in Knoxville.
Yeah, what a day in Knoxville indeed. And what a day for Memphis, Tennessee, and Memphis football. We will spend quite a bit of time on that today. Here's what we have going on the show. At 11:25, we're going to be joined by Clay Travis. He was on Periscope reacting to the Volunteers' loss.
Get him in here to answer for it.
He was at the Vandy-Georgia game.
He's at the Vandy Georgia game.
But he's a Vols season ticket holder, no?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. I'm pretty sure
still
he is. Derek Mason, as we know, the new age Mike Ditka, according to Tom Hart.
Apparently.
took a tough one. Took a tough one over the weekend. Anyway, we will talk to Clay Travis about all of the action in college football this weekend. Jalen Hurts, we asked, okay, Ooh. Is it going to take time? Is it going to happen immediately? We got our answer. Happened immediately. 6 touchdowns. The guy looks like a Heisman winner.
He is something else, too, because, you know, if that was Felipe Franks, he'd have been, I told you so. I told you so. Jalen Hurts actually like he threw for 150 yards. You know what I mean? Like he had a decent game. I mean, that game, one of the best individual performances I've ever seen. Now, you know, just one man can't do that out there. You need a lot of help. In this case, Riley is looking like a QB whisperer. Mm-hmm. But my gosh, what a performance from Hurts.
Yeah, so anyway, we will talk to Clay Travis about all of that. At 12:25, we're going to talk to John Clayton. John Clayton, of course, covers the NFL, writes about the NFL for the Washington Post. We have football.
Yeah, real team
from
in action.
Now until February.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is week one of the NFL season. I think it's going to be a great NFL season because it really feels like a bunch of different teams could win it. You know, I don't think this is a year you're going into thinking it's got to be the Patriots, it's got to be the Rams. You know, there are plenty of other teams out there, you know, who can make some noise.
That's right, like your Chicago Bears.
Absolutely.
And on Thursday, you'll have the 199th installment of Bears Packers.
Yeah, so on Thursday, so we will have football this Thursday.
That's right. Get ready to watch my team, John.
I am. I will love watching that game. I'm excited about it. It's an opportunity for you to, you know, once again, get murdered by Michael Myers on television.
I'm seeing a lot of predictions. Aaron's going to have his best season ever. Not if we have anything to say about it.
Yeah, so anyway, we will talk to John Clayton about all of that at 12:25. Then at 1:25, Jason Fitz is going to join us. We will talk to him about the NFL.
He's all over game day on Saturday.
College football, yeah. I was texting with him a little bit.
He's been promoted, hasn't he?
I don't know if he's been promoted, but he's adding duties. Because he's on outside the lines again today, and he's doing game day every the way he explained it, he's doing game day with Maria Taylor and David Pollock every morning, and then he's going to be integrated, he thinks, in small bits and pieces into the main game day program. So, no, he's definitely going to he's like the next, I don't know, Reese Davis. You know what I mean? Like
Did we get on the ground floor with a star?
Or Bob Lee.
Mm.
You know, he could be Bob Lee. You know,
the next Bob Lee. He'd have to grow a beard.
Yeah. You know, Bob Lee's stepping away.
Sometimes he'd go beardless, though. He is stepping away.
But anyway, we'll talk to Jason Fitz about all of that.
Fitz is good.
At 1:25. We do have some breaking news, 92.9 breaking news, powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. According to Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio over at NBC Sports, he is getting initial chatter of an Ezekiel Elliott deal being done. 6 years, $90 million is
Jerry got all the money.
And
he just signed up Collins.
If I'm not mistaken, that is exactly, you're gonna have to check my White Station standard math on this. That is $15 million a year, which would tie him with Todd Gurley for the highest paid running back in the NFL.
And
he would not become the highest paid. He'd be the he's tied for the highest paid.
Well, I have to say, didn't Stephen Jones basically say we're not going to make him the highest paid?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he said that, you know, to start this thing off. He said it kind of publicly. Well, his mark was we're not setting the market. And so, I mean, it makes you think that, you know, Ezekiel will have to swallow being number two, number three. Sounds like, somebody's not going to get signed up here. And it looks like it'll be you're probably a couple of guys on defense aren't going to get their money and have to roll on. But because, again, they just signed up Collins, gave him a deal. You got DeMarcus they signed up this offseason. You've seen him, Jerry spread the money around. Smith got his. Somebody now is going to get left out. But I know Dallas fans are excited. The idea that you could get through the first three games, we thought that was real. You could get through them without needing Zeke. They're going to be pretty easy games, Giants, Washington, Miami. But still, if you're a Dallas fan, you want Ezekiel in there. Mm-hmm. You want to make this run because you feel like you're special with him in there. And quite frankly, you probably are.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So, you know, now you're talking about Super Bowl, like legitimately talking about Super Bowl. You got Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, you know, you're going to run the table if you feel like the first three games of the season.
A lot of teams in the NFC, man, got a chance this year.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, what you really want to see if you're a Cowboys fan, not that we're going to start this open on the Cowboys, but what you really want to see is Dak take that next step. You know, because now he's got the full season of Amari, as long as Amari's healthy. You know, he's got Ezekiel Elliott for the full season back there.
Right, we'll
the
see.
Offensive line is as good as it's ever been, right? I mean, you feel like, you know, you really got to see the next step from Dak this year. And
I'm with
his full complement, perhaps that will happen. Okay, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, your University of Memphis football team is 1-0. They started the season with a 15-10 victory over Ole Miss right here in Memphis. It never really felt, even though at one point it was a field goal game, it never really felt like Ole Miss was going to threaten to win the game to me from where I was sitting.
I don't know. It got kind of antsy there in the second half when the offense is just kind of stalling out. Defense has played well the entire time, and you're like, oh, well, this momentum is switched.
Yep. I guess for a minute.
And maybe it's after you don't get the big Pat touchdown run, you felt like it was really in control then. That one changes. And I tell you what, they kind of got going. And look, Rich Rodriguez is over there calling the plays. I realize they're at a point where they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
But you've got a guy who's been a division, obviously been at Michigan, respected offensively. And so that was the other part for me, John, is I'm kind of waiting on, okay, they're going to make a push here. Rich Rodriguez, former Division I coach, like you figured they'll show some competence at some point offensively. And look, they did. You saw the sort of the momentum change. They had their chance. But I thought, defense, and particularly Bryce Huff on that sack, and that, again, after you – punted them down there, which will lead to something we're going to talk about a little bit later on. But that to me, won you the game. I mean, Ole Miss at that point, it sort of started to be getting back together. Still a little bit shaky, but it gotten the run game back together. And, I thought, John, there was a chance there to lose the momentum. You'd kind of lose that game, but your defense said no.
Yeah, it was a total, mirror image of what you've come to expect from Memphis football the last 3-4 years under Mike Norvell. You expected, a lot of points, given up, you did not expect to sort of, hunker down, win the game defensively type of, and I almost think it's more impressive to do it the way Memphis did it, against an SEC opponent where you're basically counting on, pressure from your defensive line, getting to the quarterback. Typically that's hard to do when you're talking about a Power 5 versus a non-Power 5. In the trenches is typically where you see the difference show up.
Right.
And Memphis just dominated, I thought, the front seven, at least for the first half and then into the second. Memphis, defensively, it was just as impressive a performance as you maybe have ever seen from a Memphis
ball team. I don't care who you are. I mean, I don't care if Arkansas or Vandy was coming here. You hold an SEC opponent to 80 rushing yards.
No question.
John, that's being physical up front. And to your point, that's where we thought they might be overmatched. You're talking about a new-look offensive line that did struggle in pass protection. Mm-hmm. Mike Norvell acknowledged that yesterday in his meeting with the media. There's no question about it. But physically, from a running perspective, you can't run for more than 80 yards on an AAC defense, one that had been shredded coming into this year.
One of the worst ever.
Let's go back to it. Adam Fuller, a guy who didn't give up a 100-yard rusher all year last year at Marshall, one of only 3-4 teams in the country to do that. There was your physical defense. Again, like we talked about, you have great individual talent, but getting those guys to play together, they were together. And again, in the first half, you've got -1 rushing yards. An SEC team, again, I don't care what level they're at, what level of the rebuild they're at.
Yep.
That's an SEC opponent over there. With all the resources and facilities and weight room you need in the world, getting pushed and manhandled, getting their run game manhandled. And so that's the thing that was most impressive to me was, again, and what does that allow you to do, John, when they can't run it on you? Allows you to get it back to your offense.
Absolutely.
Which, to your point, looked different. This was more of a ball control offense that they were running out there on Saturday.
Look
at the time of possession. Typically, it's Ole Miss on that you'd expect to be on that 39 minutes, and Memphis have the ball 21 minutes because what have they done? They've been a quick strike offense, right? Whether that's Darrell Henderson running for a long touchdown, catching one, whatever it is, all of a sudden you looked like a power team, and you needed to be.
Yep.
Let's get to it. You absolutely needed to be because, again, whether it was not getting the time, to plant your feet and throw deep, or whether it was just Brady not being able to get the ball deep at all, again, I mean, he had his issues. You come out with a win, but that passing game needed every bit of that running game that they had, man. Otherwise, you'd have been in a lot worse trouble.
It's a symbolic win in many ways. You beat the SEC, and I think the conversation on Twitter, over the weekend, you saw some people saying, don't celebrate this one too much,
I think that's ridiculous.
I agree.
You are not an SEC team. That's number one.
Yep.
If you were an SEC team, right, that had a nice 5 years here, right, where you've built up and you've earned your respect in the SEC and you're beating a down SEC opponent, then I could get the sort of act like you've been there before. But when you are a team, right, that's not getting its piece of the Power 5 pie, right, that's got to do it a little bit harder and struggle a little bit harder, right, and make a little bit more out of that 15 cents you get, John, it is absolutely any time you want to do it. Oh, especially, right, when they've been calling you Tiger High for years. And that's not why you do it, but it's an absolute okay thing to revel in the fact that you can go out and you can knock off those Power Fives. And not just knock them off, look more physical than those Power Fives. John, no, I don't care what point they're at. It's never an okay thing, right, for Memphis to just sit back. You know, we're supposed to do that against Power Five programs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've arrived here now where you're doing it, but it's almost a discredit, John, to the folks that have put in the work. Because, again, we know college football ain't a level playing field.
Correct.
And so to act like it is, right, and not acknowledge the work Memphis has had to do to get to this point, I think is wrong. Again, we do it in football. We do a little jabbing. Maybe it gets a little bit more serious than that. But for Memphis absolutely has the right, because it's constantly being told, you're not at our level. When you beat them, what are you supposed to do, shut up and not say anything back? Give me a break.
I mean, when you look at Ole Miss athletics, I mean, just the way to look at it for me is it's a bottom-line conversation. Look at the money Ole Miss athletics generates. In 2017, that number was $118 million. Okay, their football, they profited. Ole Miss profited 2 years ago $9 million. You think Memphis Athletic Department has profited? I mean, when's the last time Memphis Athletic Department has profited? You know?
Find you the year.
And you know, we're talking about $40, $50 million budgets here. Mm-hmm. I mean, they pale in comparison. The television deals pale in comparison.
Right.
So, no, I mean, even though, you know, maybe we take for granted, you know, how good Memphis football has been the last 3 to 4 years, I don't think you can ever celebrate wins like that too much. You know, just because of the dynamic, you know, the dynamic and sort of the pecking order of Power Five versus non-Power Five. The gap is wider than it's ever been.
I mean, there's no question about it. And again, I would say, like, our upsets, right, are the group of five, you're just supposed to shut up and beat them?
Exactly.
If it was the same playing field,
yeah,
I could get that.
Well, if you could get one for ones, if you could get home and homes, right, if you weren't having to take two for ones with bottom rung SEC teams.
Thank you, John.
You know, just to get by.
They're treating you like you're peasants.
You know,
and so now the peasant gets the big win and he's supposed to sit there and, oh, act like you've been there. Act like you're a king. What? You don't get fed that way. You don't have a king's resource. You don't
exactly
have his resources.
Exactly.
Give me a break. No, the little man is supposed to celebrate.
Yes.
In this case. And again, in a day and age where it's okay for them to call you the little brother, we're just supposed to sit back. Look, I get the whole turn the other cheek. Like, y'all know I get that. But the idea that we can't celebrate or should act like we've been there. No, we haven't been in the SEC. That's where they're keeping us out of. We haven't been in the Big 12. We're not that. We're having to do it rougher. We're having to do it more efficiently, again, because you don't have all those resources. And so you absolutely have the right to give a jab to Ole Miss or give a jab to Tennessee for losing to Georgia State, a team you rolled. It's absolutely okay,
yeah, so
because they've
got
all the resources in the world.
When are you supposed to celebrate? You know, are you only supposed to celebrate when you beat teams like Houston, where the rest of the nation doesn't even give a damn? You know what I mean? Like, when are you supposed to reserve your celebration?
Yeah, I didn't get that. It's almost like pouring cold water all over everything. There's no point. No, that was a great win, and the fan base should celebrate it and give it back to Ole Miss. Absolutely.
Yeah, nobody in Memphis needs to be lectured about when it's okay and when it's not okay.
I'm not saying get ugly, but
enjoy a win.
Oh, my gosh. It's
you know what I mean?
Football. It's right. It's what we do.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, sort of turning the page and looking forward, right, Memphis football – Navy, you feel a lot better about that Navy game, one, because it's here. It's secondly because of the performance that Memphis just had on defense against Ole Miss's running game.
No question.
You know, so you're feeling a lot better about that triple option coming in here probably than you've ever felt. So when you realistically sit down and look at the rest of the schedule, right, now that Memphis has started the season 1-0.
Oh, boy, don't you jinx anything.
Everybody can go crazy about, you know, how good of a win it was and how good the season could be. Now, there are problems and there are questions, but we'll explore those in a different segment. It feels like in terms of the line, mm-hmm, Memphis will not have an opportunity for a loss until Houston, which is on November 16th.
And Derrick King's real. Like, their quarterback?
Yes.
Now, defensively, that's where the question marks were, so we'll see. But, John, you're absolutely right. I mean, next week, again against Southern, I suppose, just watch Tennessee up there. I know it's a Sun Belt team, but still it's Georgia State, a team you rolled. You can't take anybody lightly at this point, and I almost feel like, John, you're almost jinxing it looking ahead, but that is our job. And we knew that if you got past this Ole Miss team, that for a while there's going to lighten up. It was really going to lighten up until you get to that stretch there at the end of the season. So, again, a different way. I think a different way than any of us expected it. What we thought was, if your defense can sort of take the next step, right? And you put it with a high-scoring offense, and you've got a chance, John, to get to the Cotton Bowl. Well,
no doubt.
That looked like a defense, and albeit, you know, it's one game, but that looked like a defense you're going to be able to rely on this year.
Yep.
Right? So while you're trying to get all this worked out on offense, that looked like one of the strengths of your team all of a sudden.
Yes.
You know, there was a point there where I'm saying best teams on the field.
Yep.
And I'm thinking there late in the game, John, it's why Mike Norvell should punt.
Yep.
Just like he had before, Bryce Huff gets the safety. And my gosh, I mean, he made a heck of a decision. I think just about everybody in Memphis's heart was up in their throat at that point. Like, oh, especially after you just punted and got the stop. You know, but I tell you what, they go for it, and we haven't mentioned it either. Kenneth Gainwell looking a lot like Tony Pollard out there as well.
They find him. Yeah.
So offense ended up coming.
They find him.
Yeah, they do. Offense ended up coming through for you there at the end, picks up that fourth and two, but that defense all day long looked fantastic, like it could be one of the strengths of this team. I don't know how many of us expected that.
Now, I will tell you, I do have a little bit of bad news. Memphis will not be hosting game day this year, no matter how good they are. Because just the way that the schedule shakes out, they're on the road at Houston. That could have been a prime candidate to host game day, but I don't know. I mean, Houston lost to Oklahoma by a pretty healthy margin there. South Florida doesn't feel like they're going to be very good this year. The last game of the season in the regular season is Cincinnati here, right? However, that's the last game of the season.
That's why a couple of last week I went through Cincy's schedule. There's a chance they got Ohio State next.
Yeah.
Right. There's a chance they could be physically beat down by. They're a legit squad.
They are.
But that schedule is rough this year, and there's a chance you could be facing a banged up Cincy team by then. But I think they'll be in the battle all year long.
Yeah. But if you look at the last week of the season, I mean, you got Texas A&M at LSU. You got Alabama hosting Auburn. You got Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
You know,
you're too many big ones.
You're not getting game day this year. But to hell with game day. You'd rather just be undefeated going to the you know, conference championship game undefeated, have a chance to be in that, you know, New Year's Day bowl. I mean, that is something that is, you know, again, we're getting really far ahead of ourselves, but with a win like that and with the schedule that Memphis has this year, it is certainly in the cards. Now, they lost to Tulane last year for no reason.
It's true.
You know, with two NFL players, you know, with two NFL players, really more than two NFL players. Some guys got contracts, whatever, but at least two NFL players in Darrell Henderson Jr. and Tony Pollard.
Well, you don't get that pass game, you know, back on track.
Yes.
Again, from pass protection to Brady just being able to plan and make a decision and get rid of the ball. Again, that interception on that screen, you know, what are you seeing there? If you don't get that fixed, John, any of those games losable. Because, again, that defense looked awesome. Let's just be real. Adam Fuller's defense looked awesome. But that, and again, it was against an SEC opponent who you held to 80 rushing yards. But you want to see it again and again before you're at a point where, you know, well, Brady and those guys can have an off day like that, and I feel safe. No, you want to see this defense do that again and again. And you got to figure, you know, it's still Mike Norvell, y'all. You got to figure they're going to get things, you know, get things back together. But, I mean, with Brady, you know, concerns. There's no question about it.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a fantastic weekend, a fantastic win for the University of Memphis, even though Ole Miss clearly has major issues, and I'm assuming they will be parting ways with Matt Luke at the end of the year. But you don't apologize for those, and you celebrate them. You know, you celebrate them because it's gonna be harder and harder for you to even get these games.
It didn't look like Rich Rodriguez's offense was so good that you're gonna hand it to him after Matt Luke. Like they might have to end up cleaning house out of there. But again, all more credit due to Memphis and the job they did over there.
I mean, forget winning, right? It's gonna be difficult for you to even get these games. Ole Miss is out. I mean, they ran with their tail tucked between their legs from this series. That's over. You know, you gotta play two for one to get Arkansas. I think Mississippi State is coming on the schedule, and maybe Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Missouri's definitely on there.
Yeah,
coming up.
But it's going to be increasingly difficult because these things are scheduled, you know, 10 years out. You know, it's just going to be hard. It's going to be difficult to do it. But you know, hell of a win this weekend for the University of Memphis, no doubt about it. Cotton Bowl in their sights. All right, we will come back. Clay Trapp's going to join us on the other side of the state. It was not as glorious a weekend. It was actually it all went down in flames, literally. Against Georgia State. So we will talk to Clay Travis about that, see how he's handling everything since then, and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
Buckle up, taste buds. You're about to take an adventure of south of Beale, Memphis's most innovative and trendiest establishment. Celebrating 10 years in downtown Memphis in the main arts district. South of Beale has craft cocktails made from the coolest bartenders in the mid-south. South, featuring draft brews from local and regional breweries only. Happy Hour featuring $2 off draft beer, wine, and specialty cocktail list, appetizers, and more. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your taste buds to South of Beale. Get started at southofbeale.com.
Hello, listeners. This is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Once again, I'm here to welcome you to exceptional service. The summer is on top of us, and so are the bugs. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. Let us help you with everything from ants to termites and mosquitoes and everything in between. Give us a call today or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com. And don't let the bugs spoil your summer fun. Call today. That's 388-0852.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You send a congratulatory text to your newly promoted boss, but autocorrect changes it to something unintended.
Oh, no.
You couldn't save yourself from autocorrect gone horribly wrong, but you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your smartphone's word choice is becoming your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even has a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Ooh.
And has been helping people save money for over 75 years.
Huh.
And now, all you can do is watch the ... response bubble and wait. But you don't have to wait on savings. Your local Geico agent could help you save even more.
You couldn't save yourself from autocorrect, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
It's football time in Memphis, and if you or someone you know is thinking of selling their home, it sure better be home selling time in Memphis. And just like you may have a favorite team, favorite coach, or favorite players, you may not have a favorite real estate agent. If you don't, think about drafting me, Sheldon Rosengarten, with Mark Spensdorf Realtors. I always tell people they need to talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers to find out who will be the best quarterback of their home selling team. Have you heard people say that when you want the job done, call Sheldon? Find out why my award-winning, highly successful strategic marketing program with the Shellbucks option can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. Also find out how to take advantage of our worldwide relocation network. Call or email me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. That's Sheldon Rosengarten at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now and go Tigers.
Hey, sweetie, it's Mom. I know you and Bobby have only been dating for 2 days, but I still think we should all celebrate. Oh, we can do margaritas at Chili's. They've got that fancy one of the month for $5, which is like just as many days as your last relationship. Funny, right? Oh, talk soon.
Come into Chili's now for our $5 margarita of the month. It's the perfect reason to catch up with friends or celebrate whatever. Together, we Chili's. Available at participating restaurants only. Prices may vary in Hawaii and Alaska. Must be 21 to consume alcohol. Drink responsibly.
Summer's ending, and savings are back in business with Dell's Labor Day Sale. Small businesses can save up to 40% on select business computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, free shipping on everything, including a wide selection of thousands of top-brand electronics. Give our specially trained small business technology advisors a call. They can help you find just the right tech to fit your business with Labor Day Savings. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Week one of the college football season in the books. Clay Travis joins us every Tuesday. He joins us now. Clay, I wish we were meeting under better circumstances.
Well, you know, I said this, and I don't know whether a lot of other Tennessee fans agree with me or not, but my take on the loss to Georgia State is maybe I'm just crazy, but it didn't bother me and affect me anywhere near as much as the loss to Purdue in the Sweet 16. And let me explain why. It's because Tennessee was good enough to win a national championship with the team they had in basketball last year. And for people who forgot, unfortunately, good for you, how the Purdue game ended. Tennessee had a 2-point lead, fouls with, you know, less than a second to go, game goes to overtime. They're that close to being in the Elite Eight playing against UVA, a team that I think they would have matched up decently with a chance to go to the first ever Final Four. So it's achingly close that they came to being able to contend for a legitimate championship and doing something that had never been done before at University of Tennessee. Whereas I thought this team would be mediocre. Now, they could have been mediocre 8-4, which would have been mediocre good, or they could have been mediocre 5-7 or 6-6, which would have been mediocre bad. But it wasn't like we really had that high of expectations for this team. In other words, it's not like this is Michigan ranked number 3 in the country when they lose to Appalachian State in that huge upset in the Big House on the first game to ever be played on the Big Ten Network. So, I think that we will learn a lot based on how Tennessee responds against BYU, which to me was the game that was going to be a real measuring stick regardless. Now, I think Tennessee probably came in overconfident. The decision to play 10 offensive linemen, to rotate as many different players as they did, I think, frankly, they were stunned at the way this game ended. And I think that is that's the biggest challenge probably that Jeremy Pruitt has, is getting over that stunned reaction. But in terms of, you know, the long-range impact and how upset I am, I expected them to be mediocre. I didn't expect them to lose this game, but I'm pretty much over this game already. Let's see what happens against BYU.
Well, doesn't losing this one mean you might struggle just to be mediocre? That it's worse than we thought? That maybe Jeremy Pruitt doesn't have it as far along as maybe we all thought? Isn't that the worry?
I mean, that's why I think the BYU game is so important. Because the positive that if you want the positive here, it would be that a lot of the teams that Tennessee is going to play this year also looked very mediocre in their first game, whether it was Missouri, whether it was South Carolina, who loses their starting quarterback for the next 6 weeks, whether it was Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Mississippi State. I thought a lot of the middle to lower part of the SEC did not look very good. And so, I'm intrigued. I think this is a massive game against BYU because otherwise the part of Tennessee's schedule is so front-loaded that this is a team that I think could fall apart and not ever get back in a good flow. I think we'll learn a lot about Jeremy Pruitt and his ability to sort of circle the wagons, rally the troops, whatever cliche you want to use here.
Clay, I need a little bit more outrage from you. I mean, this is the worst loss in the history of Tennessee football, and you were coming on here saying that, oh, I felt worse about the Sweet 16 Tennessee basketball. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all.
I felt infinitely worse about the Sweet 16 Tennessee basketball loss, and I felt infinitely worse about Tennessee losing to LSU in the 2007 SEC title game and the 2001 SEC title game. Maybe I'm different. Like, I don't get that jazzed and psyched about a mediocre team go like 8-4 and getting to go to the whatever it is, what's the 8-4 bowl game, the Gator Bowl or whatever they call it now, the Outback Bowl. Like those things, like whatever. I mean, I understand some people get excited about those things. I'm interested in rooting for a team to try to win a championship, and so I want the pressure of playing for a championship. And if you're going to be mediocre, I'm not willing to, really kind of overreact here to even if it's a bad loss, even if it's an awful loss, it's still a relatively young season with a mediocre team. I'm actually just more intrigued to see how they respond against BYU.
That makes sense on the response, and I can't imagine where we'll be if they lose to BYU. There's no bad, but some of the ways, I guess. So you're telling me if Tennessee's not in contention for a national championship, you cut them out, don't worry about it. You would agree in no year is it acceptable to lose to Georgia State. No week, no year for Tennessee football.
What I'm saying is the impact in terms of feeling awful comes when you lose and you are contending.
It's a different feeling, right?
Championships.
This is embarrassment, right? Losing to Purdue was embarrassment.
Contending for, like, the SEC, right? Like, losing to South Carolina and Vanderbilt the year that Tennessee started off 5-0 and ended up choking away the SEC East to Florida, who went and got waxed by Alabama, that hurt way more than losing to Georgia State did to me. I mean, So maybe I tend to think a lot of fans are in kind of the same boat as I am. It's just not as loud. But we'll see. Again, I think the BYU game is going to be of paramount importance.
Clay, I watched your Periscope. Okay, I watched your post-game Periscope, and it's not as if you were outraged. I thought you handled it like a champion of life. But you were already firing Jeremy Pruitt, saying that Hugh Freeze would crawl over broken glass to come to the job. So, I mean, let's not act like we haven't, you know, there's been some visceral reaction from you after this. I mean, you were ready to be done with Jeremy Pruitt after that game. As well, you should have. I think you're totally justified to feel that way.
Well, in the immediate aftermath of any loss, everybody wants everybody to get fired. You want half the people on scholarship to lose their scholarships. But the question is, how long does that last? And for a game like this, it doesn't last very long at all, whereas I still feel sick to my stomach if I think about the way the Purdue NCAA tournament game ended, right? So, I mean, that's kind of like, to me, like, how long does a loss linger? I think that there are a lot of coaches who would love to come to Tennessee. Personally, I said this at the time that Jeremy Pruitt was hired. I thought Tennessee should have hired Mike Leach, and I would have been ecstatic if they had made that hire. They didn't make that hire, but I still think there are a lot of guys in that universe. And in fact, if he had made the decision, and instead of going with Greg Schiano, if he'd gone and immediately hired Mike Leach, I think that probably you would still have the AD, John Curry, would still be in this position.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to Clay Travis, who has just totally convinced himself that Saturday was just a blip on the radar, and he is moving forward. He joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. Ole Miss lost to Memphis in a game that I don't think anybody expected in terms of just the way it went. It was 15-10. It was basically decided by a great punt followed by a safety on the behalf of Memphis. If you are Ole Miss, how are you feeling about that game that you couldn't put up more than 10 points on what last year was one of the worst defenses in college football?
Well, I think every week one, it's hard to know both what you have and what your opponents have. So, I mean, for instance, if you're Oregon right now, you're desperately hoping that the Auburn team you found a way to lose to down the stretch is going to win the SEC West and kind of have their Auburn blip where they go 12-1 or 13-0 and everybody comes back and says, oh, wow, maybe Oregon's really, really good. We don't really know enough about either team that plays in week one. It's undefined where they're going from here. So if I'm an Ole Miss fan, I am hoping that Memphis has gotten their defensive house in order, that they continue to be a really good double-digit caliber win team, that we didn't play very well, and that we have the opportunity to bounce back in a good way. And certainly, I think if you look at the overall lines this week, like I was kind of surprised, I don't know if you guys are surprised, to see that Ole Miss was a 7-point favorite in their game against Arkansas this weekend. So I know the game is in Oxford. I know that makes a difference and everything else. But that would suggest that Ole Miss is not going to be awful. It may also suggest that Arkansas is going to be awful. But that's the way kind of I would look at it. I think, honestly, of all the SEC teams coming out of week one, Arkansas losing Jake Bentley may have – I mean, sorry, South Carolina losing Jake Bentley may have the most reason to be nervous. Because they've got to figure out a way to replace their all-everything quarterback that they've relied on for several years. And I think that's going to be challenging.
Clay, how did Oregon lose that game? They get too conservative. And what did you think of Herbert, who a lot of people think might be the first quarterback taken? I didn't like what I saw.
Well, I think Auburn is really good defensively. And the challenge that Oregon has had over the years when they go up against these SEC teams is they just lack the ability to handle them in the trenches.
Physically.
They can't run the ball. They can't protect. And so I always think it's difficult to judge a quarterback when he really doesn't have a lot of time to drop back and pass. Having said that, look, I mean, I thought that Oregon lost it. The thing I didn't like about Justin Herbert was I didn't think he did a good job of, you know, kind of managing the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought he should have been able, if he had been on top of things, to be able to run a lot more time off the clock down the stretch. He didn't seem in total command and control of everything, and that's probably what bothered me the most.
We are, of course, talking to Clay Travis. He joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. Jalen Hurts had a record performance in his debut for the Oklahoma Sooners, 6 touchdowns. Is he going to win the Heisman? And if he does, If he wins the Heisman, is it in any way, shape, or form any kind of indictment on Nick Saban?
I don't think it's an indictment on Nick Saban because, I mean, Tua is going to be a top 10 pick, and it's not any more of an indictment on Nick Saban than, say, if Jacob Eason goes away to Washington and Justin Fields goes away to Georgia and both are outstanding and end up high draft picks too, because I think it's fair to say that Jake Fromm is going to end up a high draft pick also. So sometimes competition, it begets competition, and somebody's got to win. And it doesn't mean that one guy's bad or that a wrong decision was made. It just means there's not a lot to distinguish him, and ultimately you have to decide who the starter is. I think what it says more so, based on what we saw with week one, is just that we've got a little bit of a Steve Spurrier, fun-and-gun, 1990s-style dominance that Lincoln Riley is bringing to bear right now to go with Baker Mayfield, to go with Kyler Murray, and now to go with Jalen Hurts back-to-back-to-back. I don't think it's crazy to take Jalen Hurts right now at 11-1 to win the Heisman, which is unheard of to have three straight years from three different teams all winning the Heisman Trophy.
What did you think of Hugh Freeze coaching from the bedside?
Well, the speech that he gave to me was, I mean, it was like a Saturday Night Live skit when he was giving his pregame speech from the hospital bed. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think it speaks to how desperately he wants to be back as a head coach of a football team. I think a lot of people see it and think, man, that's crazy. I think Hugh Freeze was just so excited to be back on the sideline in any way possible that he didn't want to miss it. And I'm curious to see what kind of growth he can get out of Liberty as this season progresses.
And then with the NFL, Zeke, you think this gets done before the weekend? You think he's out 2 to 3 weeks? What do you think happens with Zeke Elliott in Dallas?
You know what? They signed now Lael Collins and given him a big deal, and they gave Jalen Smith a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's fair to sit around and just start to do the math here and say, well, you got Dak and you got Amari Cooper sitting out there. There's a lot of dudes that the Dallas Cowboys are giving big deals to. But reports are, I've seen, and look, this thing changes minute to minute, it feels like.
Yeah.
But reports are that Zeke has hopped a plane from Cabo to get back close to Dallas, which to me would indicate that he at least likes the progress under which the negotiations are going, such that he believes and wants to make it to the facility as rapidly as possible if this deal gets done so he can potentially play in week one.
You think Melvin Gordon ends up somewhere else besides the Chargers? I mean, it feels like we're seeing this more and more, these running backs not getting paid. Do you think Melvin Gordon ends up somewhere else, you know, by the time he suits up this season?
Well, yeah, so I think this is an interesting sort of larger business issue for running backs in the NFL. Under the new collective bargaining agreement, you get 4 years guaranteed if you're a first-round pick, and obviously there aren't a ton of first-round running back picks, but Zeke would be an example. And then your fifth year, that the teams have an option to pick it up. And so by the time you get to year six, how many running backs even ever make it to year six? And so I think a lot of these guys are looking at the tread on the tires and they're saying, you're making me stay for 3 years in college and take a beating. And this is the argument that Maurice Claret made back in the day. And then when I get into the league, you're making me play under my rookie contract for 5 years if I'm a first-round pick. That means I never really get into that second contract, which is where most guys in professional sports really start to make their big dollars. The average NFL contract, NFL career is about 3.5 seasons. So obviously that can be different for elite players like Zeke, but I do think it's something that stands out for sure.
Are we burning up Harry Potter in Nashville, Clay? Are we done?
Yeah, I saw that story and I just thought it was absolutely crazy. I couldn't believe it. I don't know. I'm encouraging my kids to try to read Harry Potter. So as a parent, I want my kids to read so bad. I can't imagine taking away something that they wanted to read. You know, it's not like it's a really dangerous book or anything. It's a kid's book. And the movies are wildly popular. I think that's just misguided stupidity.
No doubt about it. Clay, before we get you out of here, how can you help our listeners today?
Home Loan Expert. Go to The Home Loan Expert right now, and you can get hooked up. Rates are down below 3.5%. It's crazy on a 30-year mortgage. Takes as little as 5 minutes. You can also refi if you've got a mortgage over 3.5% for a 30-year. Get hooked up now. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com.
Always appreciate it, Clay. Thanks, man.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.
Yep. He is Clay Travis, who has just totally conditioned himself from Tennessee football. I mean,
that sounded like a man who'd separated himself and trying to move on from a disappointing, from an embarrassing loss.
This is crazy. I mean, this is like what Memphis fans did under Tubby. You know, it's like they just at some point you have to just stop investing yourself because you know you're just going to be let down.
The idea that you feel worse right after a after the Sweet 16 loss, that's based in disappointment.
Yeah.
This is an embarrassment.
No doubt.
Right? Losing to Purdue was not an embarrassment.
Yes.
Yes, even if you thought they had, you know, Tennessee had national championship hopes. Give me a break. It's a different feeling. And so to try to make the two the same.
Well, because his point is, well, I didn't have high hopes for Tennessee. I didn't think they're going to win a championship this year. Okay, maybe you didn't because they're not. But I think what this does is it removes you even further. It makes that timeline even longer from getting back to a championship.
And any hope that Pruitt could be the guy. Clay,
yeah.
We said before the season, the next step for Tennessee was to get back in a bowl.
I mean, you got Tennessee players retweeting memes about losing to Georgia State.
They didn't have a game on that non-conference schedule other than BYU possibly that there was a second of thought that they should lose. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
And BYU got absolutely mollywhopped by Utah on Thursday.
Yeah, Utah looked good. I don't know how bad BYU is.
Well, I don't think Tennessee should lose to BYU
at home. They should not.
I mean,
it's at home. That's why we lose to Georgia State at home.
So,
a Georgia State team that Memphis rolled up about 700 total yards last year.
Yeah, no, that's the worst loss in Tennessee football history. And all of a sudden now, no big deal. The loss in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament hurt worse. I just ain't buying that one. I ain't buying that one. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
He is Isaac Bruce, a legendary University of Memphis and Memphis State wide receiver. He is going to be in Memphis for the game. He joins us now. Ike, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time.
Hey, no problem, man. All is well, man. How you guys doing?
Everything
ready
is good
football
here in Memphis. Man, we appreciate you getting back for the game.
Oh, absolutely, man. I think it's a huge game to open the season, man, especially with, our little brothers in Ole Miss.
The Jason and John Show, weekdays 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
It's home buying season, and Orion has the home mortgage you're looking for. Visit OrionFCU.com and start your home buying process today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 9/29/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
Regions wants to know, what's a financial tip you give your younger self?
Good tattoos aren't cheap. Cheap tattoos aren't good.
You can give a girl your heart, just don't give her your PIN number.
When it comes to managing your money, there's no one way. There's only your way. And Regions' award-winning service can help you find it. Instead of one-size-fits-all solutions, we make it easy to handle your money according to your own unique priorities and perspectives. So you can feel more in control today and more prepared for tomorrow, all with the kind of financial clarity your younger self could only dream of.
It's okay if she makes more money than you. Actually, it's pretty cool.
Because we get it. Some things are bigger than banking. Ready to make a financial choice your future self will thank you for? Switch for good. Regions has the people, tools, and tech to move you forward. Learn more at regions.com/biggerthanbanking. Regions, member FDIC.
Come check out Johnsonville's Big Taste Grill this Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Kroger in South Haven on Getwell and Goodman Road. Grillmasters Jay and Chris will be there grilling up delicious Johnsonville brats. Also on hand will be professionals from the American Cornhole League. Yes, the best cornhole players in the world will be in town to challenge you. Score a point for a free Johnsonville brat. So come check out Johnsonville's Big Taste Grill this Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Kroger in South Haven on Getwell and Goodman Road.
Escaping somewhere this summer? Whether you're hitting the beach, taking the family camping, or lounging by the pool, take your favorite news, sports, music, and podcasts with you. How? Just download the free Radio.com app and start listening now. Download it today on your phone or connected device, or listen on your smart speaker. Wherever summer carries you, you can listen live, anytime, anywhere.
They say you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so here at Charmin, we decided to sing about it.
Super mega rolls, yeah. Six rolls in one. Got rolls on rolls on rolls. TP for everyone. Charmin rolls got rolls. Super mega rolls. Super mega lasts forever. Charmin rolls got rolls.
Charmin Super Mega Roll is six regular rolls in one. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Six rolls in one.
Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed. Proud sponsor of Radio.com Sports.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show. Presented by the Wing Guru. Only on Memphis' sports station. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Thought you wanted me to go. Why you trying to keep me teeny? It's a dreamy. Wish did on the genie. I got fans finally, and she wanted them to see me.
So it was quite the eventful weekend in college football. Memphis got a nice win over an SEC opponent. It was overall, you would say, a pretty damn bad weekend for the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, 7-4. Something like that. 8-4. Something like that. It was not good for
South Carolina loses to North Carolina. I don't think North Carolina is very good. You know, I mean, I do like their quarterback, though. There was one throw that dude made that, like, you would, like, pick. You really thought it was intercepted, and the receiver came down with it. I mean, they threaded the needle on that one. Y'all got to go find it if you missed it. But North Carolina beats South Carolina this weekend. Obviously, Tennessee loses to Georgia State. Ole Miss loses to Memphis. Auburn lost to Oregon, which it was.
Should have, quite frankly.
You know, yeah, it was an unbelievable play. Was it the? I mean, it worked, right? It worked. They threw the ball. It worked. They scored.
Right.
Was that the right decision? Instead of playing for the field goal, because like if you throw that ball, it gets intercepted.
Right.
I mean, right? Am I crazy here?
Again, I got this with what's our man's name, Sanchez, on the Tigers thing. You know him, the fourth and two where you go for it, and him calling it. I think the stupidest decision a coach could make because again. You just had the situation earlier where you punted it down. Your defense was awesome. Actually gets points out of it with the Huff safety. So why are you electing to go for it now when you had such a great outcome? I have a hard time going back and calling it stupidest thing ever when it came out good outcome.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, but what you're saying is a fair argument. But you're
from
again,
a theoretical.
It's a touchdown. They freaking win the game.
Yeah, from a theoretical standpoint, they won the game. Anyway, if they lose that though, and it goes another way, I think it's probably the worst. Weekend for the SEC, maybe ever. You have to go back like and look at specific weekends. But anyway,
Georgia State had much to do with that.
That was the biggest reason.
That's the one.
Because it's not like anybody had much of any expectations for Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss was an underdog.
You know? I mean, and I don't think this was a Georgia State team that was predicted to beat the world.
No. I mean, maybe according to Clay, you know. And that's
starting to sound like it. Like they're pretty damn good football team.
And that's
there.
Really why we're here.
That's why I was ready to come out next.
We just had Clay on the show, and I think we were both. Flabbergasted, frankly, by his response to it.
I thought we'd get a little attendance, a little criticism of what's going on up there in Knoxville. It didn't sound like it was much worry at all, quite frankly. A little surprising, to your point.
Yeah, it is. It is surprising. And because, I mean, this is the guy, you know, Clay is never afraid to fire people. You know, Clay is like the guy who, after every loss, he's firing somebody, you know? I mean, he's the king of it.
I thought he was going to have it for Jeremy today.
Dude's like Donald Trump in The Apprentice. You know what I mean? You're fired. Yeah, like that's what he does. But today he was much more measured. He claims he is more upset or was more upset about the Tennessee loss to Purdue in the Sweet 16 than he was, you know, this one. And again, I would say like Tennessee, for example, did they enter the season with championship hopes? I guess they were pretty good. I mean, people thought they'd be a good team.
Now, with the SEC championship hopes and get as deep as you can, but win the whole thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
I don't think anybody was like, man, yeah, Tennessee's going to win the championship in November.
Maybe there's a couple, you know, the diehards.
But anyway.
It's two different feelings.
It is two different feelings. And we wanted to compare what he just told us on the radio to what he said immediately following the loss on Saturday. And we just wanted to get a sense of if the two statements line up. Let's have a listen. This was Clay Travis after the game on Saturday.
I understand. Just watch the made field goal. There's a lot of negativity out there. I don't really have anything to say in a positive way. I think it's likely this is the worst loss in the history of Tennessee football. I'd like to be able to spin zone this as a positive. I don't really have anything positive at all to say. I'm at a tailgate for Georgia Vanderbilt. I really didn't think that this game was going to be remotely close. I'd like to point out in a spin zone fashion that my gambling picks have started off 11-2, which is pretty phenomenal. I didn't bet on the Tennessee game, but I'm going to allow celebrity comedian Nate Bargatze, who's with me right now, and is a huge Vanderbilt fan.
But anyway, that was he goes on with this guy who is.
I mean, that was the reaction I was expecting today.
Yeah. Now he sounds a little bit jolly. He does sound, maybe that's because of the various libations. I'm assuming he consumed at the tailgate.
At the end of the tailgate.
Yeah. But he goes on in that video a little bit later, and he says, listen, I'm not that mad because Hugh Freeze would take this job crawling over glass to get it, you know? Which, to me, that's the approach I expected from Clay today.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he is convinced. I think he's done, like, some, you know, I think he's, like, convinced himself. He's done, like, some mind trick with himself where he's convinced himself because everybody thought that Tennessee was just going to be okay this year that somehow it justifies losing to Georgia State. It does not.
No, we talked about what should be expectation level for Tennessee with Clay a few weeks ago, and we all said bowl. And look, when it's coming from the season ticket holder, Clay, that's what you expect. He sounded to me like a man who'd totally changed course, who'd said, you know what, there are better things in life to focus on, you know, than this football team. That's what losers say, quite frankly. I mean, that's what you do. I got a friend, and we were real good at this, right? If the Cardinals were having a bad season, right, and it wasn't going there, well, he could look to his Miami Dolphins, and all of a sudden, well, Cardinals are in a rebuild year. You know what I mean? I kind of do it too. I tune out when my Bears are bad. That's kind of what you do when you're a fan of a loser, and that's exactly what happened on that. That was a losing outfit. It looked like something that Clay's reaction right after. Would you think a head or two should roll after a loss like that to Georgia State? Paul Feinbaum calls it the worst football loss in Tennessee football history. Now there's a man that went to Tennessee and is looking in the mirror.
No doubt.
It sounded like Clay was being real honest with himself there early on. Again, I don't know how you kind of rein it in, you know, coming back. I mean, you find the positive in life? Yeah, sure, you can do that. But this is as bad as it gets for Tennessee here lately, and it's been bad. Remember, trash cans and everything else.
No,
man,
I
it just continues to be a laughing stock type thing. And so maybe you're numb to it now, and you're numb to Tennessee being the butt of the joke, so you want to kind of move the needle to another subject. That's what it kind of felt like to me.
This was unequivocally the worst loss in the history of Tennessee football. Georgia State didn't even start playing football a decade ago. Like a decade ago, Georgia State did not have a football team.
No, they were a two-win team last year.
You know, Memphis beat them, your point, 59-22.
Yeah, this ain't some team that everybody's projecting to, you know, win the Sun Belt. Like, give me a break.
I mean, even if they were, Tennessee football should never be losing to a team in the Sun Belt.
No, I just thought that was the next thing going. Well, that's a pretty good program over there. No. You guys should never on your worst day lose to Georgia State.
I tell you what, I don't know his name, but that coach is doing a hell of a job. Do you know his name? I don't know his name.
Stud.
Sean Kemp.
He's the next big thing.
Is he?
Yeah, as you know.
Maybe he can move up to Conference USA.
Bro, did you – look, again, this is what – if you're watching that football game, and it sounded like Clay wasn't, right? He's at Georgia Vandy. But if you're watching that run-pass option there at the end, late in the game, and that quarterback from Georgia State decides he's going to run it, you got Tennessee guys running into each other. You know, looking anything but coached, it looked like a circus out there. And so, again, we all expected a resurgence from Tennessee. And yeah, it took a long time to get to Pruitt, but we expected, you know, with the talent they're capable of getting, we expect a resurgence. To lose to Georgia State, your first one, which I think is the first season opener for them since, what, 83 that they lost.
Yeah.
Dude, it shows me you're not nearly as far along as you thought you were.
Yeah.
And if other Vols fans are feeling like Clay Travis today, where they're like.
No doubt.
I mean, what, Jeremy Pruitt, you might as well sign his death certificate for the end of the year.
Oh, I think he's done.
People checked out.
Now, I'll ask you, do you believe Clay Travis on the Periscope, or do you believe him on the show?
Well, it sounded like he had some alcohol in him. Be real. That's what, again, it's what it sounded like. And sometimes you're a little more. Now, you can get ugly with it, but sometimes a little bit more truthful. They call it truth serum. That sounded like what he really felt like.
Mm-hmm. I would be. I mean, this to me, I'll give you my Tennessee football moment as it relates to local sports here in Memphis. Okay, so what happened with Tennessee football and how fans are feeling now is how I felt, and you'll remember this, when Memphis lost to UAB on the road by 15 points in year one of Tubby.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it became painfully obvious to me that it just wasn't going to work. I mean, Memphis should never get beat by double digits by UAB, ever, under any circumstances. And like, it's again, it's not like UAB were world beaters.
Right.
It's not like they were picked to win their league. Mm-hmm. You know, they were not a good basketball team, and they thoroughly made Memphis look like bums. And that's when I remember just saying, this can't continue. And I think if you're a Tennessee football fan, that has to be how you're feeling today. You know, it's like a quarterback. You got to keep cycling through them. You can't just stay with the same crappy guy. You got to keep trying to look and find them.
Right.
I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's a guy. I thought Brad had a really good tweet this weekend. You know, Phil Fulmer going to come back down from the office. He's coaching next week.
Mm.
Get him a headset.
I don't know.
Somebody get that guy a headset.
I don't know. Sound like Phil Fulmer called Clay. So listen, Clay, I'm gonna need you to spin this positive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.